Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this special meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 8:02 a.m. on Friday, February 7th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present with me are Commissioners Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. I have one quick opening comment in the event my mother is tuning into this one, but happy birthday, Mom. So I always have to be cognizant of that. Played a pretty big role in my life, obviously. So, but Commissioner Fedorchuk, any opening comments?
I don't have any.
And Commissioner Christman, I will turn it over to you for any opening comments, and then you have the two portfolio items.
Happy birthday to your mom. Okay, so getting right to business, I move that the commission adopt findings of fact.
My mic wasn't on.
Ah.
I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order in Cuyahoga Creek Mining Company, LLC, revision number 9 and renewal number 1, permit number NACC-1302, application case number RC-19-190, and case number RC-19-189.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, to explain a little more, and I'm going to try to break a habit. I typically refer to the Cuyahoga Creek Mining Company as Cuyahoga Creek. I will try to refer to it as CCMC, since I also want to talk about Cuyahoga Creek, the waterway, as well. So CCMC filed the application for revision number 9 and renewal number 1 to surface coal mining permit number NACC-1302 on May 20th and May 22nd, respectively. Revision number 9 identifies the next five-year coal removal areas and addresses items that were identified as requiring updating or modifications by the Reclamation Division during a pre-renewal review of the permit. Renewal number 1 extends the permit term for 5 years until October 21st of 2024. The revision and renewal applications were deemed complete on June 28th of last year. Then on July 10th, the Commission issued a notice of receipt of renewal and revision applications, informing the public that written comments, objections, or requests for an informal conference must be filed with the Commission by August 26th. On August 26th, Casey and Julie Voigt filed written comments on the revision and renewal applications and requested an informal conference. Voigt expressed concerns about access, dust, alluvial valley floors, omission of cultural resource sites, sediment buildup in Cuyahoga Creek, CCMC's ability to reclaim the mine, and the Cuyahoga Partners' control over CCMC. They later withdrew the request to discuss the cultural resource issues and the Cuyahoga Partners' control over CCMC, but indicated that they intended to discuss the remaining five issues at the informal conference. The informal conference was held on October 8th. The hearing officer issued the informal conference findings and recommended order on October 21st, recommending that the renewal and revision be approved. The Commission adopted and the recommended order and approved Revision 9 and Renewal 1 on October 21st, that same day. The approvals were subject to right of any person with an interest who is or may be adversely affected to request a hearing on the Commission's decision. On November 20th, the Commission received a request for a formal hearing from Casey and Julie Voigt. The Voigts raised the same issues as in the informal conference: access, alluvial valley floors, reclamation, sediment in Cuyahoga Creek, and dust. The formal hearing was held on December 16th and 17th as scheduled. The Voigts, CCMC, and Commission staff testified at the hearing. The proceeding remained open until January 10th of 2020 to allow the Voigts and CCMC to submit written closing arguments and recommended orders. The Commission held work sessions on January 21st, and February 5th to discuss the recommended order. Again, the VOITS is areas of concern, and I just kind of want to go through each of these one by one. There are areas of concern were identified as access, dust, the alluvial valley floor, and sediment buildup in the creek, and fifth is reclamation. CCMC expressed a concern, and that was specific to condition number one, which they felt was inappropriate. So going through the five issues raised by the VOITS, access, the VOITS expressed concern regarding the closure and reconstruction of a county road, which provides access from their residence to County Road 13, Mercer County Road 13. The May 18th, 2016 Mercer County Road Agreement temporarily closes a portion of that road through the mine and provides affected landowners phased temporary access. The planned location of the permanent road is not depicted on the post-mining topography and land use map in the mine permit. However, it is depicted in the road agreement, which is included in the permit. The commission previously concluded that the closure of county roads in the vicinity of Cuyahoga Creek Mine is under the jurisdiction of the Mercer County Commission, not the Public Service Commission. With the order, we say, again, that the closure of county roads in the vicinity of Cuyahoga Creek Mine is under the jurisdiction of the Mercer County Commission. During the hearing, the VOITS and CCMC also briefly discussed other issues relating to other ranch access. The mine permit contains the VOITS surface and coal lease agreement. CCMC also entered into a memorandum of access agreement with the VOITS addressing access to their operations. Administration of the lease agreement between the VOITS and CCMC is not within the jurisdiction of the PSC. The second issue raised by the VOITS is alluvial valley floor. They assert that the alfalfa fields along Coyote Creek are sub-irrigated and meet the definition of an AVF. In support of their assertion, the VOITS provided what they offer as new evidence, largely based on coring data conducted by their expert, Lance Locken, of Western Plains Consulting. Mr. Locken mainly based his analysis on the soil cores and discussions with the VOITS and the VOITS Council, and without review of the 1983 OSM Alluvial Valley Floor Identification Guidelines. In the permit application, the original, which was case number RC-13-850, there were two separate AVF reports examined, and over a period of 3 days of testimony, the commission heard from three expert witnesses on the AVF issue, including testimony from the VOITS expert witness. The commission concluded that there was no AVF. This was appealed to the district court and the North Dakota Supreme Court, both of which affirmed the commission's conclusion. This issue has been conclusively decided, and the VOITS did not demonstrate an adequate basis to depart from the previous commission determination or the necessity for an additional evaluation. The third area of concern expressed by the VOITS was CCMC's ability to reclaim the mine. They requested a special condition to use certified weed-free mulch, straw, and seed, but did not demonstrate adequate basis for an additional special condition or permit revision. The VOITS also requested a special condition to allow them to annually inspect reclamation progress during the summer months. CCMC testified that the VOITS lease, again, allows an inspection upon written notice. Mr. Welch and Mr. Mose of our PSC reclamation staff both testified that there is a provision in the administrative rules to request an inspection and that the reclamation division would accommodate a request by the VOITS to inspect the reclamation of their land absent a good reason to deny it. The VOITS request for a special condition to provide an opportunity for annual inspection is unnecessary, considering the opportunity for inspection available in the lease with CCMC. But in the event that CCMC fails to provide the VOITS an opportunity to inspect, there are procedures set forth in statute and rule for the Reclamation Division to accommodate a request for inspection. The fourth issue raised by the VOITS was sediment buildup in Coyote Creek, and they asserted that CCMC has caused this buildup. Shane Bofto, testifying as an expert witness for the Voights, stated that he believed the sediment buildup was caused by sediment pond discharges. Mr. Bofto did not conduct a field inspection, but based his opinion on photographs provided by the Voights. Mr. Steffen, the mining engineer for Coyote Creek, provided evidence disputing the source of the sediment buildup and testified that he believes the sediment observed in Coyote Creek is from an upstream diversion, unrelated to mining. CCMC also provided correspondence from a professional engineer with Houston Engineering about potential head cutting caused by the upstream diversion, which was resulting in erosion and sediment buildup. The Voights have not demonstrated an adequate basis to require the requested special condition relating to the sediment issue. The fifth area of concern raised by the Voights was dust. They presented photographs and video of dust near their ranch and requested a condition to the permit requiring dust monitors at key locations. Mr. Mose, I testified that the Reclamation Division and the Department of Environmental Quality have not received a formal dust complaint from the Voights. Mr. Bofto recommended that air monitors be used to evaluate the effectiveness of the Fugitive Dust Control Plan. He also testified that he is aware of two coal mines that utilize air quality monitors, one in British Columbia and the other being the Spring Creek coal mine in Montana. Mr. Mose testified that air quality monitors at the Spring Creek mine were required by the EPA and the Montana DEQ. Therefore, the air quality monitors were part of the air quality permit, not the surface coal mining permit. Mr. Steffen testified that CCMC uses the best management practices for controlling dust recommended by Mr. Bofto, including capping, calcium chloride, and watering. Mr. Steffen also testified that photographs provided were isolated instances and that CCMC has taken steps to minimize the chance of recurrence. Mr. Mose stated that he and staff had recently met with DEQ and discussed jurisdiction and enforcement of air quality and fugitive dust emissions to affirm jurisdiction and the understanding of cooperative enforcement, with the DEQ having primary expertise. Our North Dakota Century Code provides that the commission may attach conditions to assist in carrying out administration of the permit. CCMC's Air Pollution Control Permit to Operate addresses air quality and dust abatement and monitoring measures, and special condition number one possibly infringes upon the jurisdiction of the DEQ. So to the extent that additional air quality measures, monitoring, or documentation of implementation is necessary, it is more appropriately addressed by the DEQ's permitting process. So it is unnecessary for the PSC to require CCMC to document the implementation of the fugitive dust control measures. There are a number of conclusions of law listed in the order. One that I want to highlight is that CCMC's Renewal 1 application carries with it the right of successive renewal. Thus, the Voights have the burden to demonstrate that permit number NACC 1302 should not be renewed. That gets us to the order. There are really just four things in the order. If approved as proposed, the commission orders that the commission's October 21st, 2019 conditional approval of revision 9 to permit NACC 1302 is affirmed. The commission's October 21st, 2019 approval of renewal 1 is affirmed. The previously ordered special condition 1 requiring the maintenance of detailed records of all measures and methods used on a daily basis to effectively control wind erosion and attendant air pollution is revoked. And lastly, a new special condition 1 is added. The new special condition number 1 requires Coyote Creek Mining Company to depict the proposed permanent road on the post-mining topography and land use map with the next permit revision.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you, Randy. That was a good explanation of the process. I think it was a really thorough process. I forget how long the hearings were, but we had 2 full days of hearings on this matter and listened to all the parties and the arguments for everything, and that's on top of, I think, 3 days of hearings on some of these matters the first time around. So we've looked really exhaustively at some of these issues, and I think have done a very thorough job of making our decisions based on the facts and based on the law and based on our jurisdiction. So I appreciate your leadership on this and all the hard work that staff, at least 5 or 6 members of our reclamation division, have devoted dozens upon dozens upon dozens of hours to this matter. And I hope now we can put some of these issues to bed and that the parties involved can work out some of these issues together and not through the legal process. That's my hope. I think it's more productive that way. And I think you have more flexibility to come to creative solutions. So that is the one thing I would leave as an encouragement to all the parties. And regarding the dust, the revocation of our special permit condition on the dust, the fact remains that all that condition did was require the company to document what they were doing. In our discussions with them during the hearing, I was very comfortable with the measures they're taking. In fact, the measures that they're taking were very much in line with the expert recommendations from the other party. So all the things that he was recommending, with the exception of adding the dust monitors, which is clearly more of a function of the DEQ, all of the other things that he recommended are in place and in practice. So I would expect that the company will be documenting all of those things. And so if there's ever a dispute in the future, those records will exist. And that is not something that we have to mandate that they do through a special condition. So thank you. I think that this is a good decision.
I would agree with everything that's been said, and as well as thanking staff in particular for their work on this. Commissioner Christman, as the portfolio holder, you never want to see it come to this in terms of going through a proceeding like this, but it in fact did. And it takes resources not just on our end, but also on the company's side of it, as well as the voids. And I think Commissioner Fedorchak brought up an extremely good point, and that is the hope that the parties can work together through these issues. And I know that's easier said than done, but it's important that for everyone to realize and understand that because something may not be in our order doesn't mean it isn't already covered. And that was emphasized by both commissioners in terms of the role of the Department of Environmental Quality. We have specific duties as well as the Public Service Commission, and also not to forget the Mercer County Commission in terms of the road situation. So there are many agencies involved in something like this, as you might expect, and each play a specific role. And we do work together, and we make sure these issues are being addressed. And again, I hope we can, as you said, Commissioner Fedorchak, hopefully put a lot of this behind us and move forward in a productive way.
Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, before I wanted to stay on point on the order itself and the issues, but now I just want to say, as you both have, to our staff, both reclamation staff and our general counsel, these are complicated issues, and we spent 2 days in a hearing and a couple work sessions, and they spent countless days down here pouring through the record, going back, re-listening to things to clarify exactly what the testimony was, looking at nearly 40-year-old guidelines and definitions and things like that, and OSM's guidances, in order to come up with what I think is really a solid order based on the evidence and the law. And so I'm really proud of our team. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, and is there anything else for the good of the order, Commissioner Crisman, Commissioner Fedorchak? Then we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.